For those of you who don't know me, my name is Mark Zimmerman. I am the Anglican Bishop of the Southwest and now the Bishop in Residence of this congregation. It's been a long time coming. And I can't tell you how thrilled I am to be here. Just to clue you in a little bit on what's going on, I am stepping down as the diocesan in the Southwest, and they're going to keep me on until April 1st, and as of April 1st, then I will be retired as the diocesan of the Diocese of the Southwest. I'll still have work to do there. There's plenty of work to do in Mexico. God is pouring out His Holy Spirit upon Mexico and raising up leaders and establishing churches, and eventually I believe the Lord is going to establish an Anglican Diocese of Mexico, the first of, I hope, many. And I've been kind of deeply involved in all that, so I will keep my hand in that and help that work continue. But the plan, the design is that I be with you half-time. So half-time I'm going to be traveling back to Albuquerque and helping wrap up things in the diocese there, and the other half of the time I'll be with you here in Phoenix. And I hope you all, I hope that arrangement works. Obviously, as of April 1st, my schedule frees up a bit, and if there are things that would need to be done here, I should be able to pop back in and be able to help you here also. I am thrilled to be able to work with Matt. I did not know Matt until I interviewed to see and make all this happen, and I met Matt, and I just feel that he's a dear brother in Christ. I think we share a lot of how we think and desire to minister, and I'm really looking forward to working with him. As I'm looking forward to working with all of you, I was supposed to join you about 5 years ago. I was actually hired by you all to be here 5 years ago, and this whole bishop thing kind of intervened. And but now in God's timing, here I am to be able to be with you. I am so excited to be an Anglican. I want to tell you, I grew up in the Episcopal Church. My father it was an Episcopal priest the whole time I knew him. I actually was first raised in the Diocese of Bethlehem. I was born in Bethlehem, by the way. Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And I was born in Bethlehem, and my father was helping assist at the cathedral in Bethlehem. And so I grew up in the church. I was an acolyte. I was in the choir. So I've been an Anglican. I'm one of those few people who didn't transfer in from another denomination. I've grown up in the church, and felt a call to ministry actually strongest. I was originally an English teacher, felt a call to ministry when my wife and I were in the Peace Corps in the Middle East, and came back, went to seminary, and been in ministry ever since. My son, my middle son, is an Anglican priest church planter in the Diocese of Pittsburgh. So we've got three generations going, and so we're deeply rooted in the Anglican church. But here we are. One of the reasons why I love being an Anglican is I love our lectionary, and see what the Holy Spirit does. I think the Holy Spirit's done an amazing thing this morning in that we are celebrating the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a great time because we're also going to have a baptism today. And I'm looking forward to participating in that. But the baptism of our Lord, why is that neat? Well, the baptism of our Lord was the beginning of His ministry. You really don't hear much. I mean, you hear about His birth, a little bit in Matthew, a little bit in Luke, you hear about His birth. And then you hear about Him going to the temple when He's 12. Other than that, we don't know much of anything. We don't even know when Joseph passed away or any of that. The Scriptures don't see that because the real thrust of His ministry begins at His baptism. And so that's the beginning of His ministry. This is the beginning of my ministry here. This is the beginning of a new church year. as we move out of Advent into Epiphany and begin this new church year. This is the beginning of a new year for us. It's a whole new year. In other words, I want you to see this in light of the lessons are pointing to what does it mean to have a new start, a new beginning. I believe this is a new beginning and a new start for Christ Church Anglican. And I hope we can rest in that. And I hope we can appreciate what God is trying to do. For Jesus, what was going on? Well, it started with his baptism. Of course, John the Baptist was hesitant. John the Baptist recognized, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world," approaching him when he saw Jesus. The Holy Spirit gave him eyes in his spirit to recognize that this isn't just another prophet. This isn't just another teacher. This isn't a holy man. This is the Lamb of God who's going to take away the sins of the world. This is the anointed one, the one in the line of David who would be sent, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, to turn the world upside down, to reclaim the world for God the Father, to move beyond all the mess and sin that the devil had caused. This is the one. And it starts with this baptism. And I'm not worthy to baptize you. You're the sinless one, and yet you're going to have me, John the Baptist, baptize you. What's going on there? To fulfill all righteousness. How do we understand the sinless one undergoing a baptism for the repentance of sin? And I want you to get a picture of Jesus as if he was a sponge. He is walking down into this muddy little stream, the Jordan River here, on the boundary of Israel, and he's walking down into this stream, and sinners from all over had been coming, and they'd been asking that their sins would be washed away, that they would repent, that they would change their lives and turn. And I want you to envision, if you would, the process of water washing away sin, as if those sins were down in the water. And as the Holy One of God enters into that water, it's not that he's washing away his sins. He didn't need to do that. But he goes down into those waters as a sponge. And the sins that had been washed away, he absorbs into himself. The beginning of that absorption that he will accomplish completely when the sins of the whole world that ever had been and ever will be done, he will take upon himself. And in his blood, wash them white as snow. An incredible process. And as he does that, the Father realizes too, I want you to realize he knows the price tag, because you see, baptism is really a death. If I would take anyone in baptism and do like so many do, we would dunk them and take somebody and hold them under for 5 minutes, they're dead. And that death symbolism is very real. That the old person is dying, and that the new person, the child of God, is being born in this process of passing through the waters. And as Jesus enters into that water, I'm sure he's thinking of crucifixion, of that which he would have to go through, the death that he would have to accomplish in order to finally pay the penalty for the sins of the world. And as he comes up out of the water, of course, it's imagery of symbolic of his resurrection. He was being reminded of it here. But he was doing it to fulfill all righteousness. He was doing it in obedience to the will of the Father, because he knew that he would be the Lamb of God who must sacrificially die in order to take away the sins of the world. He knew the price, even at that time. But knowing it, he submitted to that baptism. Knowing it, he will eventually submit to death upon the cross. And in so doing, the Father knows what it's going to cost him. And as he comes up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descends upon him as a dove. And the heavens open. And the Father declares, "This is my beloved Son. With him I am well pleased." At a beginning, I want you to see three things that I want you to pay attention to here. The first is this: is at a beginning, it's always crucial as you set out in ministry, no matter what you do, to know whose you are. In baptism, we are adopted into the family of God. You become a child of God, and as a child, then an heir. And as an heir, then you receive all the gifts that the Father would bestow upon those in his family. Eternal life. Being able to be in the presence of the Father, the Creator, forever. To be able to come and look into the face of the one who died for you, Jesus. What a day. But we get that by right of adoption. We are not born into this world as children of God, as many would have you believe. We have got to be brought into the family of God. And this baptismal rite is part of that. It's the beginning of that new life. To know whose you are. To know that you are a child of the King. So many of us have had fathers that were broken in sin. And so many of us have grown up in families longing to hear the words from our parents, "I love you." And they go through their entire lives and never hear that. But I want you to hear the words of the Father to the Son. "You are my beloved. With you I am well pleased." I can't tell you how many times I've sat as a pastor in counseling with people whose father didn't say, "You're my beloved, with you I'm well pleased," and said, "You're nothing but a dumb, and I don't even want to give you the word." A child to grow up that way, broken. Jesus, as he inaugurates his ministry, didn't have to start that way. He heard the words of his Father in heaven tell him he is loved, that he is precious, and that the Father is well pleased with him. I want you to hear those words, even if your Heavenly Father or Heavenly Mother never uttered them to you. I want you to understand that as a child of God, adopted by grace, that we become adopted into the family of God. And the Father loves you. You are beloved. So much so that he sent the Lamb of God, his only Son, to die for you so that you could be an heir and live with him in eternity, in light, with the saints forever. I don't think you can even understand the depth of the love of God for each and every one of you. And I want you to hear those words. "You are my beloved." As Jesus begins his ministry, isn't it fascinating that the Son of God, the eternal Word, the one who with the words of his mouth can proclaim, let it be created, and all creation takes place. Nothing was made that was not made without him. I want you to understand the power that resides in this incarnate one, in this Lamb of God. And yet this Lamb of God does not begin his ministry on earth until his baptism, and he receives power from on high from the Holy Spirit. Now, if Jesus doesn't begin his ministry until he receives the Holy Spirit, Why do we run around and try to do ministry in our own power, in our own strength? It's craziness. We too need to realize that the source of our strength, the source of our ministry, all the power that allows us to do any real good in the world doesn't come from us. It comes from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has designed and given each of us unique gifts, and they're all different. Once again, in our brokenness, we like to think that everybody needs to be the same. Everybody needs to have the same gifts. That's not biblical. And that's not the way the Holy Spirit operates. The Holy Spirit sees us as a body, and some are fingers, and some are noses, and some are hair, and some are feet, and some are legs, and some are prophets, and some are apostles, and some are teachers. We're different. Let's appreciate that. The Holy Spirit assigns gifts according to what He sees the body needs to be built up. But we always need to realize that our ability to minister is by the power of God given us. And finally, in a new beginning, I want you to understand this. In our brokenness, we tend to operate on the basis of fear. That's the open door that the devil sticks his foot in, folks. Fear. We are to be a people empowered by the Holy Spirit, loved by God. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want, even if we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We need not fear, for He is with us. We've got to quit living lives of fear, because fear causes us to do all kinds of bad stuff. I'm scared that maybe the worship might not look like what I want. I'm scared that maybe I'll lose the music that I love. I'm scared that I won't be able to minister in the way that I would like to. I'm scared of my future. What does it hold? We don't need to live lives of fear, because we are filled with the very power of the Holy Spirit. And we need to know in our hearts that God the Father sees us as His beloved children. And so we don't need to operate out of fear, but instead operate in His strength and in the knowledge of who we are, that we are His. This is a new beginning. A new beginning. A wonderful opportunity to live into the incredible gifts that the Father has given us and the Holy Spirit bestows upon us. Let's do so filled with joy and anticipation and love, watching for what God is going to do through each and every one of us in this congregation. You are loved. You are loved. I rejoice in being here with you. I can't wait to see what God is going to do with this new beginning. May God's Spirit bless us all as we start out and watch for the incredible, miraculous, God-filled things that He is going to call us to do. Thank you.